It's time for Real Money with David Holland. Because David isn't just a radio personality, but also provides financial advice to clients, we must pause for a word from our compliance department.
David Holland is an investment advisor representative of Holland Advisory Services, an investment advisory firm registered with the Securities and Exchange Commission. He also offers insurance and annuity products through Holland Insurance Services. Holland Advisory and Holland Insurance Services are separate affiliated companies that share common ownership under Holland Financial. The views and advice expressed by David Holland and guests are general in nature. No statements or opinions given during this radio program are to be considered investment, insurance, tax, or legal advice. Views expressed concerning specific securities are not to be considered an offer to buy or sell. Investment advice and financial planning services can only be given after a thorough analysis of an individual situation. An engagement of services to be offered are only in states where Holland Advisory Services is registered or exempt from registering.
Some people say a man is made out of mud. A poor man's made out of muscle and blood. Muscle and blood and skin and bones. A mind that's weak and a back that's strong. You load 16 tons, what do you get? Another day older and deeper in debt. St. Peter, don't you call me, 'cause I can't go. I owe my soul to the company store.
Welcome to Real Money with David Holland, the show that focuses on real people, real problems, and real solutions. And now for the man who doesn't preach about cutting up credit cards, doesn't waste your time talking about which razor blades to buy, won't tell you to sell everything you own and buy gold, or ever use big words to impress you and talk over your head. Ladies and gentlemen, here he is, David Holland.
No, there will be no wasting time on Real Money. Let's get right to it. Now, let me tell you what. Before we go to the fastest five, Lisa's got her finger on the button ready to roll. Let me give a quick recognition. Super excited to have an additional affiliate for the radio program. We are now also on AM 1300 WMEL Coco at 6 o'clock in the evening. The Talk to Me station, AM 1300 WMEL. Thank you for being with us. And of course, thank you again to St. Augustine. Our affiliate there is News Talk 1240 AM, WFOW St. Augustine, weeknights at 6 p.m. also. And of course, in our local market, we also would like to thank the continuing opportunity to be both on 1380 AM, Goliath Radio. Thank you, Big John. Ormond Beach. And then also 1340 AM in Daytona, WROD, and special thanks to Kevin Kelly, who's been very helpful and supportive of our radio program. So, thank you all. Lisa, let's get to it.
The fastest 5 minutes in finance with Scott Connor.
All right, Scott, you're up. Don't tell me it's been a boring day.
It's been a boring day.
Speaking of Europe, what a great segue.
Yeah, well, it's a little early, but market on today's market was really boring. Up 5 points on the Dow.
Yeah, Wednesday, right? Today's Wednesday?
I don't know. That's why I
can't keep track of it.
It is Wednesday. Market on Wednesday was really pretty boring again. Dow up 5 points, S&P up a little less than 3. Another good day for the NASDAQ. NASDAQ definitely leading domestic markets, up 12. Gold was kind of all over the place, closed the day down 12. Oil about flat at 98.98. Starting to see a lot of real momentum in the banking sector. Bank America, another good day today. I'm hearing some rumblings that some of the big traders are going to start to short those stocks again, but the banks have done very, very well since the October lows.
Any reason why in particular?
Well, they just, you know, it didn't hurt them at all that Chairman Bernanke came out yesterday and said they're doing a really good job of getting things straightened out.
So they got a pat on the back, they got a couple accolades, and then everybody said, well, yeah, maybe they are doing better.
Yeah, they're starting to work some of the foreclosures off the balance sheet, and, you know, they're not giving lousy mortgage loans out anymore like they were a couple of years ago. So they're getting better, but it's still, with interest rates so low and such a tight lending environment, it's still hard for them to really make a real profit.
So they're trying to make money on what they got.
Yeah, that's pretty much the long and short of it. McDonald's posted big sales numbers on same-store sales today. They said that most of their growth was in the U.S., offset some weakness in Europe. And in local news, Walt Disney gained fairly strongly a little bit today. They were off after hours yesterday, but revenue missed forecasts. They said attendance at parks and resorts rose. Earnings were quite a bit better. They said that the only real weakness for the revenues was some shortcoming in ESPN advertising. And not such a great holiday movie season, but they're expecting big things out of a new ship that's going to launch from Port Canaveral.
Really?
In the next couple months here, yeah.
So no negative, or I guess they're still pretty positive that the boat will float, no pun intended.
Yeah, if you're looking for a sign of consumer sentiment and people's willingness to spend on...
A cruise is a pretty good indication of
that. Yeah, on extraneous things.
I was thinking because of some of the recent, obviously, difficulties with cruise ships and the accident off the Italian coast.
Yeah, and the norovirus. And I think Disney runs a tighter ship than most, though, if you will.
Okay. I'm sure there's a joke there. I don't have one, but...
Yeah, so pretty good stuff all around.
Not goofy. I got it.
Market's still really looking for some type of resolution out of Greece. Just, you know, every day. Today's the day.
I told you we weren't going to talk about Greece anymore, but I just happen to have a stack of it as well.
Well, you know, they came out today and they said, okay, we have an agreement, and what we're going to do is we're going to cut 150,000 jobs, which they said they were going to do like 6 months ago, and they didn't do. And they said they were going to lower the minimum wage from... by 20%. So it's about $12,000 now. That's going to bring it inside of about $10,000.
So go from maybe 10 bucks an hour down to $8 an hour?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, it's a huge, huge, huge cut.
It's a huge cut.
You know, a quarter of their economy in Greece is shadow economy.
I read that. It was, 25-30%. It amounts to $30 billion a year in tax evasion.
Well, they just can't collect taxes. They set out this plan where we're going to collect $4.4 billion in back taxes, and then they try to get it, and they don't have the money to even send the tax collection agents out to collect the money.
That would be like firing all the IRS workers or not paying them.
That's exactly right.
And I'm sure there are a lot of people that say, that sounds great, David. How do we get that to happen?
Yeah, between a shadow economy and no funds and probably no willingness to actually collect taxes, it's a downward spiral.
Well, before we continue on Greece and some of the other topics we need to get to, let's take a very quick break. We'll be right back.
Have you noticed most of the financial literature available is either so specific it doesn't apply or too generic to answer even the most basic questions? This revelation inspired David Holland to write his first two books, Confessions of a Financial Planner, Secrets to a Secure Retirement, and How to Get Great Advice and Avoid Financial Scams. These how-to guides contain easily accessible information on a wide variety of topics concerning personal finances. An effortless weekend read, you'll find clarification on what a mutual fund is, how to choose the right financial professional, and much more. Call Holland Financial at 888-747-PLAN to request a free excerpt from David's first book, Secrets to a Secure Retirement. The number again is 888-747-7526. Or visit davidholland.com for more information on this innovative book series.
Now it's time for a breakdown from Finglish to English.
Well, we need to continue to break it down on Greece just for a minute longer. Then we can move on to a couple other topics I know that we need to get to. You know, we talked about the problems that Greece is having. A lot of it has to do with collecting their taxes. And, you know, it's a really good analogy or relevant thing for the United States, you know, because there's a lot of talk out there about we need to raise taxes or we're going to do this or we're going to do that. And, you know, again, live within your means, the austerity plans, all these things that are talked about for Greece and Europe and all is very relevant to what we do here. And so what happens, this is my opinion, you can draw your own. My opinion is when you squeeze people really hard on taxes, guess what? More people cheat. More people try to find a way to normalize or get a proper level of what they think is taxation. So, you know, you look at Greece and what they've done. They have a value-added tax, which according to the Christian Science Monitor is at 21%. They've got a income tax structure that ranges at 15% to a top rate of 40%.
And none of that is taken from paychecks, by the way, except for public sector workers. Private sector workers, they don't deduct from the paycheck.
It's got to be done at the end of the year?
It's got to be done by the employee. So if they say forget it, then forget it.
Wow. So they have to do it at the end of the year and file with their tax return
right.
and send it in.
Right.
And if they don't file the return, then you got to go get them and come find them.
Right.
Well, what's interesting, Scott, is that when you look at the numbers, you hit that 35% bracket at just $40,000.
Yes.
So imagine, I mean, $40,000 here, somebody might be paying 5 or 6%, something in that range.
Yeah, and thus you have a shadow economy.
And exactly. So you have a strong disincentive. In fact, the Times reported, they did a study where they looked at when taxing authorities over in Greece, did a survey, looked at 150 doctors in some trendy areas in Greece that more than half of them said they had income less of $40,000. I mean, come on. You know, so, you know, there is, and there's also, we're not just talking about income tax here. And again, we are clear when we talk about taxes on this program that the politicians aren't always so clear. They kind of blend together payroll and income tax. But now let's talk about payroll tax. Employer contribution for the Greece Social Security system is 28% of salary. United States, it's, well, it's 6.2 and 1.45 for Social Security and Medicare. So, good grief.
But that's because they made all these promises, like if you get a job with the government, you have a job for life. I mean, that's, you know, that's
life, health, and auto, too.
Yeah, that's not so, that's not such great planning.
Well, the thing that really is, I guess, the most disturbing thing, or maybe it's not, maybe it's just the way it's going to be, is even with this haircut they're talking about the debtors getting, where they only get 30 cents on the dollar or so, even with that.
Those are the private bondholders. The ECB has said, no haircut for us.
Okay, well, if they only take a 70% haircut on these, the private, they still can't make it work.
Yeah.
It's not sustainable. So either one of two things got to happen. Either the banks or the central governments you're talking about have to say, okay, we're going to take a haircut too. It's just not sustainable. So here's my question. Why is everybody, especially Europe, willing to pony up another $170 billion to prop up an economy that is, well, a government, first of all, that's having a very difficult time getting everybody to agree to do it. But here's what's really surprising to me. When you look at Greece's economy, and I don't mean to be harsh, but I'm just looking at the math here. Greece's GDP, its gross domestic product, its total production of its economy is somewhere north of $300 billion a year, roughly. Okay, $320. It's been shrinking. It's going to cost $170 billion just to get them square with the house for a little while.
Well, part of the plan is that they have their deficit to GDP ratio at about 3 by 2014. It's about 10 right now.
Yeah.
I don't see how it's not possible.
I know, but I mean, so what, again, I keep coming back to this, and this is the question that puzzles me a little bit. What if they just default? What if nobody gives them any more money?
Yeah.
What happens? Well, they can't pay their bills.
There is an increased willingness among the Germans and the stronger economies to go ahead and let them default. And a big reason for that is because the economies are strengthening. The Germans' economy is strengthening. Our economy is strengthening. So if Greece had defaulted 6 or 8 months ago, it really, truly could have been catastrophic. But at this point, we're back on growth, and you know, we can absorb a default like that a little bit better. It really depends on who's holding the bonds and what kind of hedging they've done, and we really don't know the answer to
that. So if that happened, the government says we're not paying our bills, then nobody's going to loan the money.
Right.
Ever.
Right.
Okay, or probably not. And then what happens next? They got to run the government on the revenue they take in.
Yeah, and they have to probably go back to the drachma because the Eurozone is not going to want them anymore. Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Well, enough about Greece. Scott, I'll let you go. Get back to managing those portfolios.
All right.
And we'll take another short break when we come back. I'm going to finish my conversation from yesterday about risk and what's at risk, what's not at risk, and to make sure you're clear on how these different investments work. Stay tuned.
What if the process of creating your financial plan was easy, hassle-free, and straightforward? What if it was conducted by a friendly professional and there was nothing expected of you in return? It almost sounds too good to be true, right? It's the way David Holland has been doing business at his firm, Holland Financial, for over 15 years. Since day one, it has been David's mission to provide individuals with practical solutions for their retirement needs. Financial planning doesn't have to be complicated or stressful. To learn more about our services, visit us at hollandfinancial.com or call 888-747-PLAN to schedule your complimentary consultation. That number again is 888-747-7526.
Okay, we're back. Let's get back to, well, let's see what we're talking about now. I got to go to my top secret stuff, and let's get to that.
The following top secret message is ready for declassification.
That's exactly what we're going to do. We're going to declassify this. Let me grab my stack of top secret information I want to share with you. And actually, what I've already shared, I've already divulged some of this yesterday on the program. I got really into, and you heard some passion. Well, I'm passionate about this because I think there's a lot of misunderstanding in the marketplace about what's at risk, what's not, and what you should be doing with your money. And yesterday's show, I talked about the at-risk money choices. What are the things that you can do that are for longer-term growth that are commonly used by advisors, financial advisors, stockbrokers, different people, investment advisors, people that manage money for a fee. And I talked about there being some of the primary things that are available. Common stocks. We hear somebody talking about stock. They're usually talking about a common stock of a company that's publicly traded. Preferred stocks, mutual funds, variable annuities, commercial paper, corporate IOU, REITs, which are real estate investment trusts, and then bonds. And those are all things that are considered securities under our regulations in the United States. And you have to have a securities license to offer them as an advisor. You have to have an affiliation with a broker dealer, either work for one, like a brokerage firm, stockbroker, broker dealer, wirehouse, that's all the same thing. Or you have to have an affiliation with one because somebody has to hold the money. That's a custodian. And then you can work as an investment advisor and charge a fee for your services. You don't work as a broker, you work as an advisor. So those are the things that are at-risk money choices. And as we start talking about building plans, you've got to look at that primarily for long-term growth if you're working toward retirement, or you look at it for continued growth of your money and mostly to deal with this ugly little thing called inflation that lurks beneath the surface sometimes, and we don't talk as much about it, but historically it's run 3-4%, depending on if you look at a 30-50-year period for the last 30-50 years in the markets. Now, one of the things that we talked about was some of the propaganda that's out there, and I revealed and talked about on yesterday's show that this is something that we need to strip down and understand. So that's why I was talking about these securities and understanding what they are. And the other thing that I want to mention, and I'll do it quickly, and then I want to talk about a couple other things, is the not-at-risk choices. You know, there's a little bit of this underlying tone that if you put your money into something safe, you're the wimpy kid, okay? You're not strong enough. And I think that's silly. Of course, millions of Americans have money in CDs, money market accounts, cash, some of the fixed annuities that don't lose value. And those are all not at risk money. And there's absolutely nothing wrong with putting your money into those types of financial instruments to protect it. And also, it's a really smart way to plan on drawing your income. I really get nervous when I see people drawing their money from things that are invested in the market. If it can go up and down, you don't draw your income from it. Because when you need to draw your money, it might be down. And that is when you have to cash your stuff in when it's on sale. And that's good for buying clothes. You want to buy your clothes when it's on sale, or you want to buy the deal at the car dealership when it's on sale. They've got to clear out the lot. You know, our loss is your gain. You know, we've all heard that, and that's great. But when it comes to investments, you don't want to have to be liquidating your portfolio when the market's down to draw your income. So, you know, that's the thing I want to be careful about. The other thing is that there is no magic formula to get your cake and eat it too. You're always going to see, anytime there is a significant opportunity for income or growth, there's a trade-off. So when we look at risk, and this is very important as we all scratch our head and go, how do we get the income we need, especially for people who've been investing in CDs, and now CD rates, of course, are 1/4 or 1/5 of what they were just a few years ago. And so when we look at that, and there's been a lot of articles written over the last couple of weeks of, oh, investors are getting pushed into more risky stuff, seeking those higher returns. Well, no, people don't have to do that. They just have to restructure their plans and still can keep money safe, but they need to understand how to work with those things to get them the income they need. But please understand this, as you go up the ladder of looking for higher returns, you're going to be taking on more risk, even if it's not spelled out to you. So if you're investing in cash is going to be a whole lot less income and a whole lot less risky than something at the opposite end of the spectrum, like commodities, options, currencies, things like that. So keep that in mind as you look at how you build your portfolio. Lisa's flashing me the 5-second thing. She's like, you're past five. So let's take a very quick break. When we come back, I will then get into the next segment, which I know you're going to like. Stay tuned.
Creating a world with less cancer takes a team effort. It takes survivors and caregivers and regular folks like you and me who all unite at Relay for Life. This year, nearly 4 million people nationwide will come together to celebrate, remember, and fight back. We're the American Cancer Society, the official sponsor of birthdays. Visit us at relayforlife.org.
If you like what you hear, you'll love what you see. Watch Real Money with David Holland, the TV show, Mondays at 12:30 on West Channel 2, starting February 20th.
All right. Well, here we go. Hey, play it, Lisa.
That's a load of bull.
And yes, it is. And here comes your load of bull. You know, I'm always on the lookout for this. And this one, I will try not to get too wound up. But one of the things that I observe, and I've been reading and studying the financial market for, well, about 20 years now, and doing financial work in my own firm for 15. And what I have seen is this ongoing, what's the right word, putting out of financial advice from magazines, newspapers, of course, television, radio, all these different sources. And one of the things that always baffles me is that, and I'll use, for example, a journalist. You'll have a journalist write an article and, you know, they'll say, here's what's going on with this or here's what's going on with that. And I scratch my head and go, you know, why aren't these articles being written by actually the people that do the work? You know, why is a journalist going to tell us, you know, what makes sense with a financial product or how you should be investing your money? So I think we have to be very careful. You have to be very careful, my listener, as you are exposed to these things, to remember that, number one, they're in a business of selling whatever it is they're selling. They're not selling advice. They're not providing financial services. They don't do that for a living. They're selling their publication to readership, and they are answering to some degree, their advertisers. That's who pays them to have their job to write the articles. The advertisers, at the end of the day, are who pay for it. So you always have to follow the money. And so when you think about it and you look at these articles, and they're all over the place, it kind of strikes me funny that, you know, getting financial advice from a reporter or a journalist is a lot like getting your dietary advice from the gal who hands you your fast food at the drive-thru window. So reporters and journalists, I would like to think that they're well-intending. Sometimes they have an agenda, but, you know, you need the way I look at it, it'd be real refreshing to see articles written by people that actually do the work. Think about it. Do you want surgery done by a doctor who's actually performed 1,000 of those operations? Or do you want somebody who just read about it in a textbook or maybe interviewed a couple doctors? And that's really what it's about. So here's my little public service announcement. There are 60,000 certified financial planners in America. If you need personalized financial advice, CFP.net, find somebody that can help you with what you're trying to accomplish. And, you know, I the article that really got me thinking about sharing that with you today, ladies and gentlemen, and it is a load of bull. And the article that got me thinking, here it is, a perfect example, was one on, it was done by MarketWatch. Now, if you're not familiar with MarketWatch, it's an online website. They have a lot of really good investment articles, but they are part of the Wall Street Journal, and everything you see is investment stuff. And so that's their focus. But then they'll weigh in on maybe sometimes topics that are a little bit outside of their that area. And so they have an article that says, with interest rates low, do annuities make sense? Now, there are different thoughts on what financial products make sense for an individual. But the thing that's funny to me about this article is here is the MarketWatch folks weighing in on the annuities. And that's not really the focus of what they do. But it was funny because the question is, you know, should you wait? Should you do an annuity now? Should you wait until rates or interest rates are higher? Should you do it now because interest rates are so low? Well, here's the truth. Market Watch is never going to say something positive about an annuity because it's not what they do. It's not what they cover. And the folks that a lot of the advertisers in the Wall Street Journal are what? They're investment firms. They are broker dealers or stock brokers. They are recommending products that compete with annuities. So you're not going to see a much positive stuff either Market Watch or in the Wall Street Journal. It's just the way it is. If you go to the Toyota dealership and you say, you know, I'd like you to tell me what you think of my Ford. I'm thinking of buying a Ford and I've got a couple different models I'm looking at. And you ask the Toyota dealership which one they think you should get. What do you think they're going to say? They're going to say, what are you kidding me? You should buy a Toyota. That's the way it works with cars. We all know how the deal works in other parts of the world, but or other parts of the economy and parts of our life. But when it comes to financial stuff, it's usually not that clear. And it's a skewing and it's a spinning. So you've always got to consider the source. And if you don't, it's a lot of bull, or can be. So another very quick break. When we come back, I have saved, what do we got for him, Lisa? I think we've got our Gag Me segment. Okay, I've saved the best for last. Stick around.
If you had a serious health issue, wouldn't you want a second opinion? Is your financial well-being any different? Make sure your retirement plan is the best it can be for your situation. An independent financial advisor can review key elements like stock market exposure, diversification, and fees. Holland Financial is ready to help. Call 888-747-PLAN to schedule your free consultation or visit us at davidholland.com.
All right. Well, as promised, I've saved the best for last. And it's not really the best because, play it, Lisa.
That's like so totally disgusting. I'm like so sure. It's like barf me out. Ew, gag me with a spoon.
We'll try not to gag you. Here, listen to this, okay? These pitches are all over the place, and I know you've all heard them and seen them. You know, at the height of all the craziness with the stock market, that everybody and their brother had an investment scheme, and I'll grab one that was funny that I saw the other day as I'm talking about the other thing I want to share with you. And that is, I've got this in the mail the other day, and it's from a firm in Florida. And again, I don't usually give names because I don't like to pick on people, but they are sending me a letter saying, hey, if you've got clients that are looking for a safe place to make a bunch of money. Okay, here we go. You can make a bunch of money with no risk. Is your red flag up? Yes, it should be. At least a flashing yellow light in your mind. So they go on to explain this program, which is basically the pitch is that the investor, you, put your money, with of course that financial advisor's help, put your money into these notes that are involving home loans. And what you're doing is you're basically loaning money privately to homeowners, and that this is considered to be a great opportunity by the folks that are pitching this, paying a high rate of return, 8% return, and big emphasis here, safely and securely. Okay, well, have we learned nothing? Doesn't everybody know that we have had an incredible topsy-turvy home market? Do you really want to put your money into a note? Yeah, the interest rate sounds great, 8%, but you really want to then have that be secured by somebody making their mortgage payments? Come on. So I saw that. I said, you know, that's ridiculous, and that would gag me and should. So as you see these things, be on the alert. And I get them, and I go, you know, come on. Why am I getting this? You know, do you remember or have you seen these pitches? You know, I remember very distinctly that the folks that, you know, after we had 2008 and the market dropped 37%, people came out of the woodwork and said, well, hey, you know, if you had gotten my newsletter or you had subscribed to this or that, I could have helped you navigate and tell you when to go to cash, when to go into gold, do all these things. Come on. You know, the crystal balls do not work. And here's my favorite. Okay, ready for this? I saw this on the internet. And if you saw it, okay, chuckle with me. If you didn't, you'll probably really laugh. Back in February of 2011, I saw this. There's this internet pitch. This guy, a self-proclaimed stock market guru, said he took his student loan money and he made millions of dollars. And now, because he's bored with his success, he's offering to teach you his super secret investment strategies to do the same thing and from the comfort of your own home for just $130. Okay, well, you see the obvious problem there is, do I even need to explain it? I mean, what a train wreck. All right. Now, here's something else that is in the gag me category. Do you get things like I do in the mail, which is these surveys that they want to take a survey? You bought a car, they want a survey. They send you the thing that looks like it would take 6 years to complete with a $1 bill that says, thank you for your time. Help us make car companies better. And we're going to give them all this feedback. And you look through it and you get to all the way to the back. And guess what they really want to know? All your demographic information, who you are, you're married, you're single, you got a family, you own a house, you rent, and of course they want to know how much money you make. That's the purpose of the survey. Hey, they're not using that. And if they are, you know what? They can pay for somebody to give them feedback. They could do a study group and get feedback about these vehicles if they really want to do it. So when you get those, do what I do. You don't fill them out. You write a note across the top where you lovingly say, please go jump in a lake. stop sending these things to me, and you send it back to them in the postage paid envelope along with a dollar. Send it right back. And if you get these surveys from whatever political party, I got this the other day, and it's about, here's what's wrong with the other guys, and do you agree that they're crooks? Do you agree that they're swindlers? Do you agree that they, you know, they still beat their wife? Do you agree? All these things that are bad about them. And at the very end, well, send this in so we can formulate our battle plan against those mean-spirited other guys. And by the way, we need some money. Can you send us $30, $50, $100, $250, $500 along with your survey? So is the point that they want your survey, is the point they want your money? And last but not least, the phone calls. Simply, they call you. They want anything over the phone. No thank you. But you know what? Talk to them and then just don't give them anything. And eventually, if we all do that, we don't ever do business with them over the phone. Guess what? They'll stop calling all of us. All right, we're out of time. Thanks for being with me today, and please be sure to tune in again.
Want to learn more about Real Money with David Holland? Visit us at realmoneyradio.com, where you can listen live or to the archives. You can also email us your questions, comments, or show ideas to info@realmoneyradio.com. Be sure to like us on Facebook at Real Money with David Holland, and keep up with Scott Connor by following us on Twitter at Real Money Radio.
Remember, nobody cares more about your money than you do. This has been Real Money with David Holland. Thank you for listening.
You load 16 ton, what do you get? Another day older and deeper in debt. St. Peter, don't you call me, 'cause I can't go. I owe my soul to the company store.